Welcome, welcome, you and all, to another episode of the Global Latin Factor Podcast, where we talk about Latino everything. Thank you very much for being here. If you have not taken the time to subscribe, now is the time. Thank you very much for the ones that already subscribed, for the audio people. I appreciate you very much. I know you're down. Go give us a 5-star review. Thank you very much. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the ones, because there's a bunch of them. Thank you so much for the support. I see your download. Don't think I'll forget you. But if you're ever curious to see us on video, please head to YouTube. Check us out. Subscribe, like, comment right now. Thank you very much. Today, we have an amazing individual brought by the homie TDM, Mr. David. And been knowing him for some time. He told me about an artist he has. I'm like, absolutely. It will be a pleasure to talk to the people that he has. We have a very versatile artist from the TDM camp, born in Houston, Texas, but was raised in San Antonio, Palo Alto, to be exact. She has a new project out. We'll be looking into that project that she has going on. Type shit, type-ish. Big Southside baby in the house. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. You really did your homework. Oh, my goodness.
When it comes to my guests, I don't disappoint.
No, that's good.
Especially if you have some stuff out. I'm like, yes. How you doing today?
I'm good. It was a bit of a drive. I'm a little tired, but hey, afterwards.
I appreciate you so much for being here. Same thing for TDM. Them Mexicans for being here. It's a long drive, but the commitment for y'all to be here is highly appreciated.
For sure. Thank you for having us.
And I'm glad you were excited. I'm glad that we get to make people excited to be here and record with us. So it's amazing. All right. So, but first, we're going to go ahead and continue with a segment that I like to call Preguntas al Chile. If you have not,
Preguntas al Chile.
Please do so. Take the journey with us. Are you ready?
I'm ready. This is my favorite part. I was watching your interviews.
And tacos or tortas?
Tacos.
Corn tortilla or flour tortilla?
It depends, but I'm always leaning towards corn.
Yeah?
Maíz, for sure.
Depends on what? The dish?
Yes.
The time definitely. Of day?
No, the dish. Definitely the dish. Yeah, like I made caldo yesterday because it got cold.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need some corn tortillas. Of course, you know, the kids are always like, get some flour. I was like, no, corn definitely with my caldo.
Yep.
Best.
And what about a dish for flour tortillas?
See, what's my favorite with flour tortillas? I gotta think about it. I like breakfast tacos.
Yeah?
Yeah, for my flour tortillas.
Just throw kinds of stuff in there. Yeah, all kinds of stuff. Wrap it up.
Yep, we can do that.
Awesome. Gorditas or sopes?
Gorditas, because I'm a gordita.
Pero bien bonita. Mexican coca o jarritos?
I'm only going to pick one because there's only two options because I don't drink soda now anymore. It's been like 6 years. Very good for me. But definitely Mexican Coke.
That's awesome. That's good. Soda's terrible for you, by the way.
It is.
I should do away from this question, but it's part of our culture a little bit. Agua de horchata, Jamaica tamarindo, or are you steering away from flavor waters también?
No, I'll definitely do the flavor waters. I'll never say no to some Jamaica. Jamaica's my favorite, yeah.
Think hibiscus all the way. I like that too. Okay, agua de, already asked that. Wow. Salsa verde or salsa roja?
Verde, always.
Verde, team salsa verde. Yep. If you have a problem with it, throw some salsa verde in it. Make it better. Menudo or pozole?
Menudo.
Churros or flan?
Oh, I'm going to go with churros.
Churros?
Yeah.
Valentina Tapatío or Cholula Hot Sauce?
I was waiting for this question.
Yes, why?
Cholula.
Yeah?
Yeah, Cholula's my favorite.
Of all of them.
I put Cholula on everything.
Yeah. Put Cholula on everything.
Put that on everything.
Alrighty. Conchita breads, las conchitas, the pastries, the brown ones. Do you like the brown ones, the white ones, or the pink ones?
I'm going to say pink because they're pretty, but the white because they're OG.
OG. Yeah, definitely. All right. So, way off topic, not even close to the same line of questioning. A conspiracy theory that you heard one time. And you'd be like, that has to be true. Like, ain't no way that's not true. It's 100% possible. What could that be?
Okay, so I'm not really sure if it's a conspiracy theory because I've witnessed it plenty times. So I was raised in San Antonio, Texas, and there is a railroad crossing. And legend is, which is not, if you go over there, you got to try it out.
Or not.
No, most definitely. Right, it's honestly, it kind of made me really sad. When I was a kid, it was scary. But now that I'm an adult, it's really sad to think about. So a long time ago, there was a school bus full of children going over those railroad tracks, and they actually all died because they got hit by a train. Don't quote me on that because I don't know how factual that is, but comparing to actually what happens afterwards mm-hmm. when you go visit, it's I believe it. So after that, for years, everyone goes over there to visit. You turn off your car. You just put it on neutral, but turn it off. And if you wait a little by the railroad tracks, mm-hmm. they actually will push you over the tracks. And the only reason why I have the proof is because we put some baby powder. You put some baby powder in the back of your car, and you see the little hands on there.
Okay, so let's rewind a little.
Yeah, yeah.
So you actually took the time, you and your friends or some of your people.
Family, everybody. It's like, you live in San Antonio, you've done it. Yes.
If you're a local from San Antonio in there, you know about the store, you've done it before.
Yes.
So what do you, go to that place, turn mm-hmm. your car off, put it on neutral, mm-hmm. those are the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a particular time of night that you have to do this?
Nope. Any day. Any time of the day.
Any time of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And why did y'all want to decide to put the powder on it? Just want to see it.
Because we're like, if something's pushing, because obviously whoever's driving, right? If you think about that, you'd be like, oh, you know what? They're just playing a trick on mm-hmm. us. They're actually really pushing us forward. It ain't nothing. No, we put the baby powder on there and just for the proof to see if maybe, hey, might see little hands. And you do see the little hands.
And does it push the car all the way across?
It pushes the car all the way across right over the railroad tracks. I'm so serious. You
That's
have to try
crazy.
It out. It's a real thing.
I don't
thing.
Think I want to try
it's
it out.
It's a real thing.
But I will clip this because I'm going to put it on everywhere because I think it's crazy. Interesting. Yeah. I know some people are going to tap in.
I was going to say, if you're from San Antonio, tap into that. Yeah, vouch for me because you know that that's real.
A couple of podcasts ago, we were talking about the same thing about spirits mm-hmm. and things like that. And I believe ghosts, spirits, whatever. I don't understand them.
Yeah.
But I see that there's something mm-hmm. there. Some might be malicious. Some of them might be just, I don't know, lost souls or whatever mm-hmm. the case might be. But I think there's something.
Yeah,
there. People
me
might
too.
See it as a conspiracy. But
especially when you go and you feel like maybe you haven't fulfilled what you were supposed to.
Yeah.
So it's really hard for those spirits to cross over. That's what I feel like.
Imagine, though, if you were getting hit by, like, unexpected, as a child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think of just living forever. And mm-hmm. then something happens. Your life is cut short. Unexpectedly too, mm-hmm. expecting to live a lot,
yeah.
you know?
Mm-hmm. And then that brings us back to the whole thing where their souls are just stuck there now. You know what I mean? Like that's so sad.
I see why that sad part.
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, so when you hear the word Latino, Latina, Latinx, what first comes to mind?
My family.
Your family.
My family is the first thing that comes to mind. My mom is from Mexico.
What part of Mexico?
She's Piedras Negras. And she actually crossed over when she was 16 years old. And she always tells me the story of the reason she crossed over. And she didn't have us yet. My mom didn't have me till she was about 19 years old. And I'm the oldest out of four from her. And she told me that she crossed over because she had her future children in mind. Mm. She grew up in, of course, Mexico is not a bad place. I love Mexico. Like, that's my family. My whole mom's side of my family is from over there. And I visited over there plenty of times. But it's just the way of living over here it moved her to want to put her children in a better place so that we could have a better opportunity. And clearly, I'm living it right now. So thanks to my mama.
That's awesome. We'll touch back on that one because I had an additional question to that.
Okay.
You get ahead of me, but really good. Do you care if anybody calls you Latina? Do you prefer Mexicana, Mexican-American, Chicana? What is for you the preference?
I don't have any preference. I just know that I am Latina. When I do talk about it, very much so say I'm Latina, especially when I moved over here for like a year to come to school. I think it was like my junior year of high school.
In Dallas?
No, here in Houston. I'm sorry. Houston.
We're in the Dallas area, girl. Like,
we're in Dallas.
Here? Like, you were in Dallas? What?
No, but moving to Houston, it was a big culture shock because I saw different kinds of people. In San Antonio, it's real like each side of the city mm-hmm. is a certain type of people. But when I moved over to Houston, it was a bunch of cultures. And I actually got mistaken for a white girl a lot. And I don't know why. Because I don't think I look like one. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But I always like to mention I'm a Latina. And mm-hmm. you get that right. Because I'm not just a wet, ugly guy. You know, they always throw those words out there. But And Latina is the word I stick to. No.
I get that. I always get that Caucasian. Sometimes I don't say it right. You're a little light skin.
I am, yeah, I know.
But depending on the area where your family's from, it just depends on if there's a lot more lighter Mexicanos.
Yeah, for sure. My mom is definitely, they used to call her Huerita.
My mom's Huera. My niece is Huera.
Yeah.
I'm más o menos in between. Okay, so that's amazing. So, okay, so you were telling me about your journey, about your mom. Did she saw something? Did she, in her growing up in that area, that she realized that at 16 she just needed to leave because she was already thinking of ahead of a future for her kids? Or was there any other reason why she decided to leave?
I definitely feel like it was just growing up in Mexico. She is number 14 of 14 children. So I feel like maybe just seeing what my grandmother experienced, you know, back then was a lot of, it was different times. So my grandmother, she experienced a lot, with her first husband, and then she met my grandfather, who I didn't get to meet. But the way she spoke very highly of him, he always wanted the best for his children. And she figured if I go to America, it'll be better. I'll be better off there.
Okay. Yeah. Did she cross legally with a visa?
No, she crossed illegally. She was 16 years old. But the cool thing about it is her best friend, she tells me all the time. She's like, my best friend, she had a boyfriend that worked the border. I'm not going to give any names. We're not telling on him. I don't even know where he's at. But he was like,
Probably retired with a pension.
Right, exactly. And they just drove on over. They drove right over.
And stayed.
And my mom stayed with some family in Houston.
So you keep thinking that you can build a wall or whatever the case might be, tunnels under it. But sometimes it's just like, just that easy. Other people get to, the ones that walk the desert forever, hours, man, it's crazy. But there's some of them, there's different ways. We're going to get here because we got to get here. Whether you want it or not, put them helicopters to top, alligators on the freaking water.
We're going to get
whatever you want. It doesn't matter if we have a dream, because this is the place where you come and get you have the American dream that you've been selling for years. People want to fulfill their dream. And guess what?
For sure.
Alligators, crocodiles, helicopters, drones.
A wall.
An ignorant wall. It's not going to stop people from coming over. Just saying.
Most definitely.
Keep that in mind. That's awesome. That's crazy. So you straight drove. Did she go straight up? Houston?
Yes.
And that's where she was staying at that
time. She stayed with, I want to say, an aunt and uncle, little family that I had. And then from there, she met my dad at church. So
she met your dad at church. You were born later on, 19, 3 years later, so 19 years old.
Yeah.
And then you were born in Houston, Texas.
I was, yes.
How long were you there before she left to San Antonio?
Well, I honestly don't remember my parents being together at all. So I was a baby. And then my mom moved over to San Antonio. I'm not sure if she had family or not. And I don't know actually why she went to San Antonio. But then when I was about 2 years old, she met my stepfather, and he pretty much raised me as well. So I would say I got two dads.
That's cool. All right. So did she ever tell you anything about your actual dad? Or where was he from? Was he already from?
I still have my dad. My dad's very involved in my life. He is from Houston. He's been there all his life. I believe his great great grandfather came from Mexico before Texas was Texas. So that was a long time ago. And really, I don't know much about that, but I just know my descendants are from Mexico.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that they always been, like, his ancestors were there before when he was Mexico still.
Yeah.
It wasn't even Texas
at
that time. It's crazy. It's a long time. He's been there for a minute. All right. So let's get to your name. Type shit. You got to say it real quick with some swag. Yeah. I don't say it like that.
If I tell Siri, hey, play some type shit, she always says type shite. I was like, we can go with that.
Okay. Because I talked to David about the name. I told her, hey, to each their own. Everybody express however they want to. I don't know how high your expectations are as to how big you want to make it. If you want to stay underground for a long time. And just be in there, it's cool. if you're thinking commercialize and just be able to be known, mm-hmm. maybe the series version is a whole lot better.
Yeah.
But just a thought, because mm-hmm. I've done music. I've done a little bit of music, stuff like that. Hey, a lot of people enjoy your name. Mm-hmm. A lot of people like it, the way it rolls out the tongue and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting how you changed it before, because you used to be...
Here we go.
Did I say the name
Time
or not?
Shit, Jazzy. I thought she died.
You can find it on YouTube and interviews.
No, I know.
That you talked about that is very uncomfortable for you to mm-hmm. talk about, but I can see why. Was there a lot of confusion with the names with somebody else? And you're just like, you know what? I'm just going to just, so there will be no confusion.
There was confusion just because I had the Jazzy on there. And my name is Hasmeen. Mm-hmm. So the Jazzy, I just threw it in there because that was my name. That part had some confusion with some other girl. So people, I actually walked out of an interview once that didn't air because they kept calling me her name.
Ooh.
And I figured, that's why I said I really appreciate when people do their homework.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they kept calling me her name. I didn't like that. So I didn't do that. And then I just dropped the Jazzy because I was like, why even have anyone know my actual real name? I'm an artist. I'm here to entertain. Of course, I do it for my own reasons. I love to make music because it makes me happy.
Right.
But at the end of the day, none of these people know me, you know, outside. They don't know me for real. So type shit. We dropped the Jazzy. We didn't need the government on there. So that's why I changed it.
That's cool. Yeah. Now I know her name. Thank you for sharing that. It was just a thought that David and I had a conversation about mm-hmm. that, like, we want to, in the future, forever. If you think about it, just logically, right? If mm-hmm. you think of all the artists that ever existed, none of them have any kind of
profanity.
Name that it, I guess you could say some people.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the worst word ever. I mm-hmm. think the F-bomb would be worse,
mm-hmm.
but none of them have it. But mm-hmm. it is just a thing that, like, it's just, you want to be, radio's not even a thing anymore. But any of the other media outlets
mm-hmm.
would love to be able to play it, but they'll be deterred because of this, you know, mm-hmm. which is lovely for you. You liked it, right? Something mm-hmm. that you used to say. You just went in. It felt like you grew, and it will be some kind of, like,
mm-hmm.
thing that you want to keep. But it's always the tag that you can always say on your songs, because in
course.
The music itself, you're just like, and it flows really good whenever mm-hmm. you're creating the music, and you're just saying the way it is, and it just rolls out. The tongue when you don't, you know what I mean? So just a thought that I had told David. When we were having a conversation mm-hmm. about, you know, like, just like, I enjoy what she's doing. It's mm-hmm. awesome. But just for me, be like, the bigger picture will be like,
yeah. Hey. So I've actually thought about it, and I spoke to people about it too, because they thought the same thing. They're like, hey, how are you gonna market your name? You have a profanity word in there. But if you look at it, technically, it's a Y, not an I. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. And these days, market so much more worse things, not just the profanity, but a lot of things that I feel like eventually it's not really going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And then eventually everyone starts calling me Type for short.
Type.
So Type. Type it is.
So it might be just Type.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look it up, it's Type shit. I mean,
I like
you
it.
Can pronounce it like Siri does. Type shite.
Type shite. I like it. Again, I just tweet.
Yeah,
however
sure.
you want to. Mm-hmm. I like the story how you told of how the name came to be,
mm-hmm,
and
yeah.
then why you dropped the other one, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Don't walk out the interview.
No, I won't. I won't.
I'm not gonna call you. I'm gonna call you Type ish or Type.
That's fine. Type is fine.
But I'm not going to call you the other day for sure. I guarantee you that. All righty. So when was the first time you were introduced to R&B music? I know that's where you started off in. Mm-hmm. You used to freestyle with the homies, but eventually you started doing R&B more, right?
Mm-hmm.
You eventually switched lanes.
I actually started with R&B.
Mm-hmm.
So when I did R&B, really, I was first introduced to hip hop music in general and R&B in general when I moved to San Antonio. When my mom met my stepfather. My dad, my biological dad, he's real big on country music and old rock and roll, which I love. I love all music.
Mm-hmm.
But then when my mom met my stepfather, I got real deep into the hip hop, the R&B, and I just love the way it flowed. So I've always, since I was a kid, I used to like to write. I was very shy. I used to be very shy. I'm not no more. But I used to be very shy, but I used to write a lot. And really, I used to write my feelings. And then I turned them into poems. And then I thought, I should sing. I used to love to sing. My mom says when I was 2, I swore I was Selena Quintanilla.
Mm.
And That's how slowly I started to develop that. But I never went anywhere considering, you know, where I was from. My parents were just real, you need to go to school, you need to finish school, you need to find a profession, and you need to get out of here.
Right.
And that was always the case. I never wanted to stay in my neighborhood. I love my neighborhood. That's what made me. But I don't want to stay there. So when I moved to Houston, I met a lot of people that were doing the music thing. Mm-hmm. And me, of course, I just did it for fun. I had a friend and we did the whole freestyle thing. And I freestyled in singing because that's all I knew how to do. I sing. My mom grew up listening to the Spanish music and, you know, the Jenny Riveras, you know, Vicente Fernandez. The singing was real what I wanted to do.
Right.
My mom even tried to convince me to do mariachi at one point. But then when they saw that I could freestyle R&B, they were like, hey, why don't you try rapping? Because that's what everybody's doing. And I was like, I don't know how to rap. They're like, just try it. So when I did try it, it was real easy for me to do too. So I was like, I'll give it a shot. Especially because I would go around to do R&B shows.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was nice. People were like, oh, I like this. But I didn't feel, honestly, now I know it's because I wasn't in the right shows.
Mm.
But the rapping thing was everywhere. Everyone wanted to do the rap. I was like, let me try it. And then I just took off with that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What was your first influence just as far as hip hop that you learned in R&B? What were the first ones that you got introduced to?
My first hip hop, I want to say Biggie Smalls. He's definitely not a Latino. But Biggie Smalls was my first. Oh, I love hip hop. Hip hop is, this is nice.
Yeah.
After that took off, anything really that I could get my hands on, the old school R&B, the old
Faith Hill.
I love Lauryn Hill.
Edit this. I'm just kidding.
No, I love Lauryn Hill. Yeah, for sure. Who else? You know who I really liked, and it might not be R&B. I don't know what kind of. It's Spanish music though.
Yeah.
Oreja de Van Gogh. My mom put me on Oreja de Van Gogh, and that just took. I was like, Mom, I want to sing.
That's pretty cool. All right, so you're doing with the homies, kind of playing around. Mm-hmm. They tell you to rap. You realize that you can just rap and kind of mm-hmm. sing, harmonize,
mm-hmm.
and then you start. When was the first time you actually went into the studio and did something, some recording?
So I went, I went with my kid's father. He's not in the picture anymore, but he actually, we had the similar dream of music
mm-hmm.
at one point. So he actually took me to the studio and he said, if you can write a song, I'll pay for your studio time. He's like, and you let me know if you like it. I was like, all right, cool. Made one song. I didn't think it was that great, but it was my first song. After that, I loved being in the studio in front of the microphone mm-hmm. and letting it out, that I just continued to do so. And the first time I was in there, it was in an old little shout out to FM Feezy. He's out in Houston. He's an engineer and he does it just out of, you know, little house in the neighborhood. And after that, took off from there. Then I started visiting other engineers and studios. Now, also shout out to Juice, Mixed by Juice. He's my engineer now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've stayed there and I love it. Being in the studio, any chance I get I'll take it. I love being in the studio.
What was the name of the first song you ever did? You remember a little bit of how it went?
It was called Paradise.
How'd it go?
I don't even remember, to be honest.
If you don't remember, it's cool.
It was like, what was it? It was like, ooh, you're taking me to paradise. Something like that.
Yeah. That's cool. I like it. How do you feel to actually be recording? I don't know if you have experience, saw people recording, but for you, how do you mm-hmm. feel? Because I know you record in the dark. I don't know why. The thing for you that you like.
In the pitch black.
Is it something that you just enjoy to be in? Mm-hmm. Like to be in the dark too? Why is that for you?
To be honest, I don't even know. I do everything in the dark. I sleep in the dark. I read in the dark. My grandma used to get mad at me. She's like, te vas a lastimar tus ojos. She's like, what is wrong with you? And I was just like, I don't know. I'm in the dark. But when I'm in the studio, in the dark, and it's completely pitch black, I'll even close my eyes at that and have my sunglasses on and everything. It's just more, it feels very, I feel alone. And not that I want to feel alone, but I feel alone in my own space. And then before I know it, when I'm letting the music out, I'm no longer in the dark. I'm somewhere else. I'm not even there. It's just me and the music.
So. That's awesome. Okay, backtrack a little bit. Your mm-hmm. first experience with the studio,
mm-hmm.
your baby's father,
mm-hmm.
pays for it. You record, mm-hmm. you put the headphones in. I don't know if they have the whole situation. Mm-hmm. You get in there, you hear your voice, and you record. How does it feel like?
Oh, it felt like a big release.
Yeah.
Like, you know how when you've had a long day, and I don't know, for some people, they can just say, oh, I'll just pop open a cold beer and just, I'm relaxed. That's how it feels for me. I get in the booth, and I hear myself for the first time, and I love the way it sounds on the speaker, and I'm like, wow, I could listen to me all day. And that's not on no, you know, cocky stuff, but listening to myself and listening to what I have inside come out,
yeah,
it's like a sense of relief, like a relief, you know?
That's dope. Yeah. Was there something that you came off that day that you recorded that? Is it something that you had already written before? Or?
Yeah, it was. I did. I wrote that. He just said, write something, see if you can come up with something, and then we'll record it. So I did. I had wrote it. Took me like 2 days, and I was like, okay, I'm done. Let's go. Now it takes me like, I'll write like what all the time.
All right. So for your process, for you for recording, you like to listen to the beat, see if it, because I used to record a little bit of music. Mm-hmm. I still have a track out there. And I'm still going to
I'm going to need it. You're going to need to send me the link.
A couple more. But for me, I used to tell people that like, the beat kind of used to talk to me. Like some of them are here, like some people are like, yeah, that's the one. I'm like, yeah, no. Mm-hmm. Oh, there it is.
That's this exactly one. How it this is. This one. That's exactly how it is. I actually will listen to the beats. This is why I don't like going like to people who make them. I mean, now I do. Now I do it. But I didn't like going to people who made them. I just would go on YouTube because they're already made.
Yeah.
So I would go and listen to them. And then I'd hear one. And it just, and it feels like it's feeding your soul for something to come out of your soul. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's exactly how it would feel. I felt like it was feeding me. And something would come out, and I like it.
So, okay, so you continue recording, that song happened, and then you move on to different places. Now you found home. Mm-hmm. How long were you in there in that area before you got with TDM? It's been some time, about a year or some change ago, right?
Yeah, maybe even 2 years. It's been probably like 2 years. So I was with some other people, and they actually introduced me to my engineer, and then but I already knew David and TDM, and they've always kind of been in the picture. He's always been, you know, there for me, just not even just as an artist, just as a person, because he knew how badly I wanted it. He's like, you really got something. So he's always been really supportive, even before he was, I was a part of TDM.
Yeah. So. Okay. So I know you talked to an extent about a situation you had that mm-hmm. you're no longer there anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to bring it up anymore because it's already old. Mm-hmm. However, the only thing that I want you to share is because when you go through, I think there's power in sharing, right? So yes. Whenever you go through a situation, whatever it was, what is the biggest lesson that you learned for yourself that you can look back and say, man, even though it was shitty, mm-hmm. it happened, but I'm good. And I learned this out of that situation. What was it? What would it be?
Brief interruption to let you know, I know that you are enjoying the episode. If you are, hit the subscribe button, give us a comment, give us a like. Thank you very much for being here. And now, back to the episode.
I always say, never take anything personal. Because being in that situation, a lot of things did happen to me that affected me negatively, as well as the good things. But also, those people also had their own things going on. You know, everyone has their own thing, mm-hmm. their own stuff to deal with. And I felt like this isn't going to benefit me because you're harming me and what I'm trying to do because you're not fulfilled with you and what you're trying to do. And that's completely okay. It happens like that. But you always got to be smart enough to realize, hey, if this situation is not for you, you need to be away from that situation. And go find the things that are for you to help you progress and grow.
So, like one of the things that you said on the podcast was that the things that are going to benefit me are going to be serving for me now. It might sound kind of like selfish mm-hmm. a little bit, but at the same time, like you always have to look at after number one.
Yes.
You know, to be able to be good and you'll be able to help even others even more.
Exactly. If you're good, you can make everything else around you good. Yes, I totally agree with that. Yeah.
Awesome. I'm glad, again, I don't want to touch on it because it's already old history, but I appreciate you letting me know. Maybe somebody's going through the same situation. Mm-hmm. Maybe they have a group, a record company, whatever the case might be, mm-hmm. and they just don't, they want to be loyal, but at the same time, it's just like, they're not taking care of the ways that I need to be taken because mm-hmm. I have things I have projects. I have things that I got excited about doing this.
Yeah.
And I want to keep doing more, and I just got to find a way to keep doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm, for
so
sure.
So hopefully somebody that listens that might be in a situation. Yeah.
Be loyal to who's loyal to you. That's the moral of all of this.
Another thing that I wanted to touch up, and the only reason is because, remember I said there's power in sharing. You had mentioned it before in a podcast there. One time you was somewhat, you were suicidal at one time.
Yes.
A lot of things that happened in your, and you can talk about it if you like, in the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very sorry for your loss, by the way.
Thank you.
Was that part of the things that put you in that situation and how you came out of it, or was it even before that?
This was actually before. So my little brother died last September. It's been a year now since his passing. And I feel like what I went through before, because I was suicidal back in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like what I went through before actually prepared me to deal with that loss and that grief. Because still today, it's very hard. I don't think it'll ever not be hard. But back then, I lost an aunt to cancer. I lost a child. I went through a really bad breakup. I had a lot of drama with my children's father. I lost a job. Everything just felt like it was falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I really felt abandoned. And usually I'm the strong person in my family, so nobody could really tell. And that was hard. So I feel like going through all of that, and sorry if I get emotional.
Okay.
Sometimes it still works me up, but I'm very grateful for what I did go through, because dealing with that helped me now learn how to deal with grief and loss and, you know, just my own personal negativity that I got going through me sometimes. So now I'm more positive when I'm going through a loss. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, I feel like God, in order for God to give you what you need, He has to take some things away that can't come with you. So now I'm appreciative when I go through certain things like that.
Okay. How was it that you were able to pick yourself out from that in 2019, going with everything else? I don't know if it was the thoughts, there was any actions on it, but what brought you out? What guided you to get out of that situation? Was anybody encourage you? Did you actually found God more deeper in that place where you were able to just come out of it?
Actually, the music. The music is what helped me out of it. That's why I take it so to my heart, is why my music is very important to me, because everything that I say in my music is everything that I've been through, everything that I've lived. It's, none of it is false. None of it is cap, as the kids would say these days.
Kids.
But it's all true. It's really just my big diary. Everything I put out is my diary, and the music really is what helped me. I was like, you know what? I'm going to make this song. I actually did attempt and failed back then. So whenever I failed, something told me, for some reason, you're still here. So figure it out. And I realized all I would do all day, because I didn't have nothing else to do. My kids were at school. I had my baby, but I mean, you know, them, they eat, sleep, cry. That's it. And so I was alone most of the day by myself, and I would listen to music, and a lot of certain albums were getting me through my pain. I felt like this one artist, her name's Kehlani, she had dropped an album that year, and it sounded like she was going through a lot of what I was going through, so I could relate. And I thought, why don't I just tell my story, and maybe someone will be able to relate, and maybe it'll feel good to get it off my chest,
right?
You know? And and it did. I made a song. I was like, okay, if I make a good song, let's make or break. Let's do this. And I made a song. I recorded it. It felt really, really good to be back in the studio and on my own, not with my children's father, who was like, kind of like, come on, let's try it. It all just happened naturally. So the music is really what took me out of there. And of course, God for sure.
Did you feel you were home when you were back in recording?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Once I started letting everything off my chest, every time I went to go let everything off my chest, I felt a lot, but it felt kind of like therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're not the first one that tells me that. There's a lot of people that came through that do music that feel that music is so important to them because it's therapeutic.
There's
a lot of things that you don't know how to get it out. There's no way to, no channels to get it out, whatever the case might be.
Mm-hmm.
But through the music, they find that it's just part of their therapy, their healing, whatever the case might be. Mm-hmm. Is that the same thing for you?
Most definitely. Most definitely. And that's the main reason I do it. Because I love it and because it feels like therapy, but I also do it because I know I'm not the only person like me. I know we're all here like, oh, I'm different, I'm unique, which, yeah, you can be. I am, I feel like. But at the end of the day, there is a single mother with her kids living by herself, trying to carry the weight of that. There's also a girl who went through domestic violence. You know what I mean? There's also a girl who went through all the things that I'm talking about in my music. All those things that I went through, I feel like there's somebody out there going through the same things. And if I can relay my messages out to make them feel better, that's all I care about.
Maybe the ones, the guys are sliding the DM, and if you put it out, you'll be in trouble, homie.
Facts.
I would listen to that one song, like, ooh. Was it top with the drop top or something like that? Was it
yeah,
the last song?
Top top with drop
that's
top.
That's
yeah.
The line. But right shit. Before you said something about the homie was in there, if I put it out, I'm like, ooh. Don't ever go in her DMs, bro.
Don't make me mad.
I'll let you be business. Yeah.
You can be in my DM. I'm not going to. That's none of my business.
Hey, that
but
line.
When you make me mad.
That line on that song, because I heard it, I'm like, oh, that's slick. I'm
like, the oh, slick man, is.
That's nice.
Don't forget it.
Top with a drop top or something like that.
Pop with a drop top. Don't stop. Ooh. Steady with the vibe because I'm in this bitch. Hey.
Like that. I like that a lot.
Thank
I was
you.
Like, yeah, that's slick. I like that. All right. So again, the music, very important, therapeutic for you. That's part of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you told me a little bit about your recording process. That I feel like whenever part of the therapy, the darkness, I'm just trying to understand you. It's just because you're like in a void and it's you on the mic and you close your eyes and you'll be able to tap into those feelings and
I'm just floating there.
The mic.
Feeling.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's dope. That's dope. All right. Let's talk about your EP. So you recently dropped an EP. 221 is a 6-track EP.
Yes.
We have JJ's intro, 221, Hold Me Down, featuring KP.
KP, Keep Pushing.
Keep Pushing. Mm-hmm. All to Myself.
Mm-hmm.
No Pressure, featuring Amazing Ike. And Southside.
Uh-huh.
I'm digging Southside.
Thank
I like
you.
That. And then
Thank
that 221 too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm digging them too. It's just personally what I like.
No, yeah, for sure.
I need to re-listen
I like to know
again.
What people's favorites are, yeah.
Yeah, just by listening to it. The one that I like from you is the one that is the older 2 years ago track. What was that one we were
like
playing?
Like You. That's everyone. And I'm going to tell you, that'll forever be my favorite song too. I make a million songs, but that one will always be my favorite
song. How's
the
beginning
song.
Go?
I shoot you a text. I'm like, what's up?
What?
Yeah, know that you're missing the shit.
Hey. I heard that because I was going through your Spotify trying to get the whole EP, the track. And then that one was playing. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
Then I went and found it. Repeat.
Yeah, and that's a good one.
The
like
whole way
one.
Over here.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to a little bit of your podcast, but I was also playing that song. I really like it.
Thank you.
Really, it's like that line is slick. I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. You notice how he keeps saying slick?
What?
No, it's because I always say I'm the slickest.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get it like. Know that I'm the slickest. Type shit is the slickest.
There it is. All right, so tell me about the artwork of your EP. What is it? What is the picture? Who is it? Why did you? And first of all, let's talk about the actual graphics of the EP.
So first things first. Shout out to Hardcore Digital. Hardcore made my cover art. I came to David actually with the picture. Actually. Originally, the original plan was to just put a bunch of older pictures of like my family and me growing up. Because if you listen to the project, it projects a lot of that. So whenever I sent that to him, he was like, yeah, we could probably make that work. But I have two younger brothers, Ray and Jonathan. Jonathan, JJ, that's why I got JJ's intro on there. He's the one that passed away. He was only 21 years old. Passed away September 20th in a car wreck. And my brothers, my siblings, really, they mean a lot to me. So I really wanted to make sure that I included them in this, especially because the music is so, it involves where I come from. It tells a lot about me in the music.
Right.
And then my brother Ray, I love him dearly. And they were thick as thieves. Like I said, my mom had four kids and it was me and my sister and then my two little brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So all of us were close, but Ray and Jonathan, they're really close. They're brothers, you know, my brother's keeper. They were inseparable. And I noticed that my brother Ray, actually right now, he is locked up. He is coming out in April and we're waiting for him. But them two, they're like my babies. So growing up, I helped my mom a lot with them. Mm-hmm. And they just mean a lot to me. My siblings mean a lot to me. So whenever I came with the whole idea of let's put my whole, like all our pictures on there, I was like, well, I want to make it look fit more into just, oh, this is a project, you know? So I found that picture and I was like, you know, I was like, this reminds me of when they were just babies and they were my babies and I watched them grow up. They're grown men now, you know? But I watched them grow up and I was like, I want to dedicate this to my brothers, especially because we're all going through so much, but them especially, my brother Ray is going through so much. We all lost my brother, but he lost his best friend. And he was really going through it. And that's why he's in jail now. And he's paying his dues and everything. He's getting better. He's getting closer to God and all that. And I'm very proud of him. So using my brothers as my EP to describe my story with songs that describe us in my story, mm-hmm. I figured that was perfect. Just use that. And then Hardcore did his thing, turned it into a little picture. And it was perfect. It was simple. It was sweet, but it catches your attention still, I feel like.
It's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. What about the title, 221? What does that mean?
So I'm real big on numbers. And since my brother's passing, I don't know. I don't know what people believe in or what, but I feel like your ancestors and your loved ones, they speak to you. Mm-hmm. They show you signs and everything. Well, after my brother's passing, he was 21, died on the 20th. 2 and 1 is very symbolic, and I'm not going to go into detail, but things happen, and I've noticed, and the numbers are always around, and so I looked up the numbers 221, and they just symbolize growth, really, overall, is the message of the number 221, and I feel like from back then, from my first project to now, there's been plenty of growth. I still have a lot to work on, of course, as an artist and as a person. But 221, I just felt was perfect because I feel like my brother does send me some messages, especially through the numbers. And also the number symbolizes growth. Mm-hmm. So I felt like it fit perfect with what I was doing.
That's dope. Amazing. I like that. Okay. So who was the main, was there a particular producer that you work more as far as like for this particular project? It's always been the gentleman you talked about.
Yes. Mixed by Juice. Also, I want to give credit to Slow Life. Slow Life is out in Houston too. He actually engineered for the song for JJ's intro, mm-hmm. and also for the one that has KP pushing on there, the Hold Me Down. So he was on there.
Samples. I can kind of hear the.
Yeah.
I hear something. Yeah. That's familiar.
I'm so glad that you brought that up because the Hold Me Down sample, it's a. I don't know if you know who Don Juan is. But it's a Don Juan sample, and the song was really big back in my day. You know, back in the day where they had the MySpace, and everybody used that song for their profile song. So, and I really loved it. And my homegirl, actually, one of my homegirls from San Antonio, she's one of my best friends. Her name's Nessa. She shared it on her story once. I was like, oh my God, I forgot all about that song. So I go back and I listen to it, and I was like, wait, I was like, I want to sample this. So I found D Baker, the beat maker. He's actually from Dallas, I believe. And I was like, hey, can you sample this for me? Amazing Ike is the one who introduced me to him. He was like, I can try. And so when he sent me that, I was like, this is perfect. I don't know what I'm going to do to it yet, but I'm definitely going to use it. And it's a song from my childhood that I enjoyed listening to. It was my favorite song. One of my favorite songs.
That's cool. That's dope. All right. Any other producers that you have that you work with on this one?
On this one? I don't think so. I think it was just them two. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was just them too.
Amazing. What's the feedback so far in the project? What is it looking like? I know you've been talking about it for some time now, and it's out now.
Yeah, so far the feedback that I've gotten a lot of good feedback. I haven't heard anything negative. You know, there's always that one person. No, but I have heard nothing but good on it. I've had people tell me actually, like this sounds different from what I have made before.
Yeah.
They're like, this sounds different, and I think you're going somewhere with this. They're like, this sounds like you, this feels like you. And I was like, this is awesome, because this is all I wanted to do. Not that the other music wasn't me, but I feel it was more in the adolescent phase of me, mm-hmm. and this is a more grown-up version, you know. Growth. 221.
No, it definitely is. The other songs that I've seen were, mm-hmm. you know, more fun type of songs, which mm-hmm. is cool. Nothing wrong mm-hmm. with it, but you know, you get into become an artist and go through the process of mm-hmm. the things that you do, and then this one's more personal, more family oriented, more of the things that is for you.
More relatable.
More relatable and a little bit more of a window into what it is you, your life, and people that, mm-hmm. that like to hear your music.
Yep.
Again, so that's cool.
Most definitely. Thank
awesome. You. Awesome. And so far, was it one video so far that I've seen? Are you planning to drop any more on that one?
I actually am. So I'm in the process of planning out my videos. I'm thinking about just doing 3 to the project. Definitely want to do All to Myself. Oh, 221 is getting one. And I'm actually shooting that in my neighborhood. I'm just waiting for my brother to get out so he can be a part of it.
Nice.
And then I may throw in Hold Me Down because I love Hold Me Down. And also No Pressure because that's amazing. I really want to do those two for videos because I want people to actually look at those two artists as well that are on my project, mm-hmm. because that's why I put them on there. Not only because they're great artists, but I want to be able to use my music and myself to help see other people as well.
Yeah. Okay, so there's no videos for the fire. I was wrong. I think I've seen the last video where you were by the car.
Type Shit. That's the song. That's the name of the song. It's just Type Shit. Yeah, it's just the name of the song. Okay, type Shit by Type Shit.
My bad. That was my confusion. No, you're good. I thought it was part of the project, but it's different.
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just a video. It's something I did. I felt, like you said, I felt the beat and I was like, ooh, and that came out. So I was like, yeah, we're going to make a video to this. We're just going to drop it as a video.
All right. So usually I send directly the person a message of all the things that we have. And then mm-hmm. I ask them 2 questions, mm-hmm. 2 things that you really wanted to talk about. Maybe on your drive over here, or maybe mm-hmm. just things that have been on your mind that you want to talk about. Is there anything that you have in mind?
Mm-hmm.
It could be music. It could be whatever. Whatever you would like. Life. Anything.
Life. I feel like life. Life and music combined. Because it's very hard. We'll go with that. Because mm-hmm. Doing music, I love it. It's my passion. It's my dream. It's been my dream since I was a little girl. But life be really kicking your ass and it makes it hard for your dreams to come true. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So life, yeah. Life is life.
Life is life. Hey, this is life in.
It is. It is. Most definitely.
Thing. You said as a little girl, it was your dream. Mm-hmm. I know your mom used to let you sing, but when did it start growing as far as something that you wanted to do? Who did you saw? Of course, Selena was one mm-hmm. of them. But who else? What else wanted to make you want to dream about becoming an artist, becoming a musician, not a magician, a musician?
It was. Did you see that?
You saw that clip.
I saw that. Hold on, because I was so. I love that lady. That lady is so funny. I think moving to Houston really is just what made me. There was no in particular artist because, like I said, since I was a little girl, I just loved music. Music was a form to express myself. And I was very shy. I was very to myself. I even got bullied at one point because I was so shy. But the kids in my neighborhood, from my neighborhood, they always defended me, protected mm-hmm. me type shit. But
there it is.
But just moving to Houston, because in San Antonio at the time when I was growing up, there wasn't real much going on over there music-wise. Now there is. Shout out to all the San Antonio artists that are getting it right now because they're getting it. But when moving to Houston, it's already been placed in Houston right. that it's a music scene, especially the underground music. So being around just the culture of the way Houston is, that made me, because I have the passion for it, I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it out because this is where dreams are come true, apparently.
Yeah. Not to mention you're a female artist mm-hmm. That you can rap, flow. Mm-hmm. But you can sing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I said versatile. When I was trying to think of how to introduce you, I didn't want to say R&B singer, rapper.
Mm-hmm. I'm an artist.
I was like an artist that's versatile mm-hmm. with a voice because you can sing, blow, harmonize, and do everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I have to do that. But in general, you're just a female too that's coming up in a Latina artist too.
Yes, yeah? Most definitely. And then it's hard. It's hard being a female in the industry.
Why is that? What's the hardest part about that?
The fact that everybody just wants to see a female naked. I'm going to give it that. Now, mind you.
That's talking to y'all. You too.
Y'all are part of the problem.
Y'all are part of the problem. You come out with a solution.
No, it's just, that's all that's going around really, mostly. And I feel like there's a lot of breakthrough because mm-hmm. I'm meeting a lot more local artists and they're not like that, which is great. I love that. But it's real hard because people just want to see that. People are like, oh, you're a female. You got to be more sexy. You got to dress like this. You got to be this way. And that's not me at all. I was a little girl. Since I was a little, I'm a tomboy. I've been a tomboy. I like to be comfortable. I like to be chill. That's when you get the best out of me. I'm not going to sit here and shake my butt in your camera and expect you to take me seriously.
I don't think y'all got great people that female artists that came up that didn't do that. Like Missy
exactly.
Elliott.
Yes, Missy Elliott. Exactly. Legendary, iconic. But I'm
Snowed the product for a long time. Still mm-hmm. not too much. You know, just mm-hmm. enough. But there's a bunch of other ones that never, just the pure talent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I should have seen Nicki Minaj back in the days when she used to spit. Now, she's still really good. But she looked nothing like the Nicki that she does mm-hmm. now. But even back then, she was
But I feel like once you get to the industry, it's boom, show the tatas. I'm like, damn, no. No, let's show our girls something else, like the Lauryn Hills. You know what I mean? Yeah,
classy. Show,
yeah, exactly.
Feminine, classy mm-hmm. look, you know?
And show the art.
Yeah, show the art.
Show the art, show yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like Thank much. You. Any other thing that you had in mind? Any other questions, thoughts, emotions? Like, oh, I hope he doesn't ask me this.
No, I want you to ask me everything. I love talking. Yeah. So, yeah, everything is...
Why were you so shy? Why do you think you were so shy back in the days? Because I was the same way as you mm-hmm. were. I was like this.
I think it was just more of an at-home thing, just the environment I grew up on. And not to call my parents out, but I came from a very strict household. My stepfather was very strict on us. If I wore Bermuda shorts once up to here, but almost... at the top of my knee, right?
That's
touching
high,
my
girl.
Knee. And that's
high.
Exactly what he said. I was like, what? So just anything, just the, like boys. And the only boys he really let me around was my brothers and the ones in the neighborhood. And everyone worked for my stepdad. And so everyone knew my stepdad. So I was just real like, okay, I can't do anything. I can't move wrong. I can't say anything wrong. You know what I mean? So I was real just like, just be shy. Just stay away from everything and you'll be good. You're not going to be. And then two, my parents, my mom and my stepfather, love them to death. They're different people now, but I grew up in a household where the parents argued, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it was always a thing. I hated confrontation. I hated being anything that would bring any type of confrontation to me. So that's another thing, too. After I moved away from my school in middle school for like a year, we moved to like the outskirts of San Antonio and Somerset.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in my first fight ever.
With, did you win?
Yes.
Yes.
With two sisters, actually.
What?
Yes.
So it was 2-on-1 against
it
one?
Was, yes, they were picking on me. And the girl was actually my friend. I don't know what the heck happened, but they started picking on me afterwards. And I was like, what the heck? And that's the first time I ever learned that I actually knew how to fight.
Yeah.
It's good to have brothers because they'll teach you. but after that, I was like, you know what? Standing up for myself, I'm going to, you know, be vocal. My mom was always real big on that, too, because my mom, completely opposite of me. My mom was very out there. My mom always spoke her mind, which I am like that now. But she would always tell me, she's like, no te dejas. That was her favorite line to tell me, no te dejas, nunca te dejas. And ever since then, I was like, you know what? No me voy a dejar. You can't tell me nothing. You can't, you know, I'm me. You don't like it. Too bad, you know?
Yeah. When did it start coming out? After that fight? Or you grew into it?
It took a few fights. No.
So it wasn't the only fight?
No, man. I never got in trouble. I was a really good kid, but I used to fight a lot. And back in my neighborhood where I'm from, the south side of San Antonio, Palo Alto, it's just what we did.
What's a lot of fights?
It was a lot of fights. Like I can't even count, to be honest. Like, I even got jumped once in the cafeteria 20, by four girls. No, like a lot. Like I don't even know.
Lost count.
I lost count. Fought at a carnival at the mall, South Park Mall. Fought at school. I got jumped by four girls at breakfast. I was so mad. I was more mad that I didn't get to eat my breakfast.
Me too. Like, can y'all wait? We'll get to it in a second. Give me 1 second. I'm almost done.
I had just opened my cereal and poured my milk, and I was like,
even worse.
Then I got jumped. My homeboys from over here, shout out to the PA boys, because I rode the bus with my friends. I was a cheerleader, actually, matter of fact.
Oh, really?
And it was game day, so I was in my cheer uniform, and but I would sit, all the cheerleaders would sit together, but yeah. I would sit with my neighborhood, like mm-hmm. The kids in my neighborhood. So I was just so happy that the guys were there, because they were like pulling the girls were big. And this, nothing against big people, but oh my gosh, a girl sat on me and I was like, I'm gonna die, suffocation.
Why did they decided to jump? What happened? Is it a boy?
No. I mean, sometimes it would be, but not really. Most of my fights, shout out to my little sister. I love her to death.
But
she was the reason why I was always like, she was like my mom, bien cabrona, and she never could keep her mouth shut. And I'm like, stop, stop, stop. You're going to get us in trouble. She was the reason I would get in trouble. But she was just like, this girl's messing with me and we got to go beat her up now. Because I told her to go hit her sister and her mom. I'm like, oh. So I'd go and we'd go. Yeah. And we'd have to. But the reason I got jumped was because these girls were, it was two girls. They were picking on my little sister. My little sister was right behind me. So she didn't finish. She finished middle school. She didn't go to high school. She just like opted out and did like a packet, whatever, got a diploma like that. But they were picking on her in middle school. So when those girls came to high school, they had an older cousin that went to the high school. And then another girl was her friend that went to the high school. So it was all four of them. And instead of picking on her, they tried picking on me. And it was only because every time I would see them outside of school, at the mall, the movies, whatever, my mom was like, andale, go get her. And I'd be like, okay. My mom was very, it's toxic. Please don't be like that with your children. It's not okay. But my mom would always be like, y'all are going to protect each other. And she's like, so when you see her, you run it. And I'm like, okay. So I would find the girls and I would try to be like, yo, I'm going to fight. Because they were mean to my sister, anda bien flaquita. She's very flaquita. And they'd pick on her, throw her around against the lockers, you know. So every time I'd see them, I tried, you know, beat them up and be like, don't mess with my sister. My sister didn't go to school. They knew I was her sister. They got their older cousin. And the next thing you know, I'm getting jumped in the cafeteria at breakfast in my cheer uniform.
And missed out on breakfast.
And missed out on breakfast. I was so mad.
Of the day. What's wrong with
you? So mad. I know.
I'm glad you're good. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah, for sure.
So, any celebrity boxing coming up here in the near future?
I'd like to. That'd be fun. What's up? Wouldn't want that.
TDM, put it together, David.
Set up some TDM celebrity boxing.
They done one before. G-Love and G-Love with Mexican Connected, I believe her name is.
I seen that, yeah.
So, you know, maybe something else come up. You like to fight, you know?
Time
you. I don't want to. It will be for charity. It will be for
I have some
cause.
Pent-up aggression.
You know, there you go. And that it just can't go in the studio and do that part. So she's going to have to do it.
For sure.
All right. Well, we're running short on time. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time, the drive over here, and telling me about your amazing project that you have. Go listen to it right now. If you have not, tell them about it.
221. It's out now on all streaming platforms. Type shit, TYPSHYT, if you're confused on how to spell it. I dropped it on February 21st. Keep running the streams because videos are coming soon. And thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I enjoy the conversation. Thank you so much. Yeah. I know some of the things you had talked about is really difficult to kind of sort of navigate how to ask or how to not to be rude or how you be able to just share with me. But I'm letting you know the reason why I want you to ask the things that I do. Because I feel like some of those things might be beneficial for other people to listen that are a mom that still have dreams.
Of course.
They maybe haven't really taken the leap to do it.
Yeah.
But here you are doing and actually getting projects out. They're out and videos to come.
Yes, videos to come. And thank you for that too, for actually taking that into consideration. I appreciate it. But I'm an open book. So if you ever have me, I'll tell you all the cheese, man.
All righty. Wait for the next up. What is all your social media? Where can they find you at? And the videos are coming soon. Any other projects or any other performances that you have coming up? Well, it's going to be pre-recorded, so it's going to be maybe about 3 weeks. So if you can think ahead 3 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, so far, no. I do have one tomorrow, but of course, you said this is pre-recorded. So, but I will keep you posted. I'll
By the
share
way,
it.
Real quickly. She's here today on Friday, and she's going to have a show tomorrow in Houston on Saturday, meaning they have to go back
and then I'm on the studio on Sunday.
There you go. All right, one more time. So you were saying the projects, so else you have?
Yeah, you can find me and on Instagram under type shit, just underscore type shit, the way I spelled it, TYPSHYT. I share everything pretty much from there. You can follow me on X, previously known as Twitter, where it's X now. But yeah, I'm on there too. I need to be more active on there. So y'all go add me on that.
TikTok too.
TikTok. I'm under TikTok. Everything's under type shit. I don't use my government for anything except Facebook, but don't add me there because that's for my family.
Closed out. It's closed out. I think I'll be the only one on Facebook nowadays too. Any shout outs that you have?
Anything? Yes, I want to shout out my engineer, Mixed by Juice, who makes me sound lovely in the booth all the time. Shout out to Amazing Ike and KP Keep Pushing for being on my project 221. They did excellent, and I love that for them. Shout out to TDM, David TDM, for giving me this opportunity. It was long overdue for sure. And shout out to AP the God, my video guy. He does all my videos. And shout out to my support system. My cousin's here. He came here with me. The people that are in my circle. And my mom, my family, my brothers, Free Ray Ray, Long Live Johnny. And shout out to my kids. I love my babies.
Awesome. Awesome. What is a very important lesson that you learned in the music industry that you would tell your younger self that will help somebody else out? What would that be?
Be consistent and stay consistent, and don't let anything that's going on in your life stop you from continuing to do so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Usually when I wake up throughout the day or sometime, I remind myself, I heard this quote a long time ago and I liked it. I like it a lot. It's like, I'm not immortal. I am mortal and I will die one day. And that's just not to freak me out, scare me. I'm like, oh my God. It's more like, it's a reality in life, right? It's going to happen. But it makes me want to hurry up and do stuff, like get stuff out and get it done.
Yeah,
exactly. With that, I wish you a long, prosperous life.
Thank you.
However, when everything's said and done, what do you want people to think and feel about your life?
That I was solid. I stayed solid. Solid to the death of me. Sorry, was that too gangster?
Too big gangster. Yeah. Nah, whatever it is.
No, yeah. It no, is, that, you know. That I was... That
solid
I was,
is great.
Yeah, that I'm solid. I'm a solid person. That people are still stay true to their word.
What does solid mean to you?
You stay true to your word. You stay honest. You stay open. And you keep it real at all times.
Awesome. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
That's what solid means to her. If you didn't know what solid was, if you got to... Oh.
Yeah.
Hold up. Okay, type shit. So where is it at? So I looked up what type shit means in Urban Dictionary. And if I saved it, no, I didn't save it. But there's type shit, a definition for it. And nope, I didn't crop it in here.
Is but my
I
picture there?
No, no, it wasn't there. But I typed it. What does it mean? And it was a definition for it. Nope.
So type shit, basically. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you the little rundown.
Okay. So what it is to you?
So type shit came because I made my first project in a matter of 2 years. So it was a bunch of different type of songs. So it was like I had a song for every type of mood you can be in. And they're like, oh, that's that sad type shit. Or, oh, that's that oh, that feels good type shit. Or that's that. And so after all that, they're like, hey, type shit. And I was like, yeah, I got the mood for any type shit of mood you're in.
That's dope. See, that's how the name came to be. We appreciate it very much again. I can't thank you enough for it's a long drive still.
Yeah.
It might be with the homies and it might be short because y'all BSing the whole way or talking or interesting conversation.
I snored. Stuff. I snored all the way here.
So good. But it's still a long drive, right? A lot of artists, I know a lot of artists. Some of them we talked before, but we never had anything. But the commitment for you to be able to come over here, even though you work in the music whenever you have time and then you got projects out and then you still have things that you're planning to do and all still self-funded. The mom. And then you know, you have your support system, but still a lot of times you have to be the one that starts doing the thing in order for it to become a real thing. So definitely, again, he told me about you. I say I'm down. I don't know much about it, but let me get a little rundown. I got it. I started looking to your stuff. I'm always looking and I'm like, oh. And then I found some of the songs that I like. There's going to be on my repeat playlist because I like that vibe. And then I hope that the videos, I can't wait for them. I love sharing your stuff.
Thank you.
Whenever it is. And just keep doing your thing. Keep pushing. Consistency is key. And you have to be, you know, always willing to deliver and follow through on what you say you're going to do. Because a lot of times we talk a lot, but we don't do a lot.
Talking, more doing. Yeah,
absolutely. And without our type shit, you are a global Latin factor. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
This was another episode of the Global Latin Factor podcast. Remember to subscribe while you're playing. We're like really close to 1,500 subscribers, 1,500. We're still slow moving. I need your assistance to help us get more because it's just important. You're here. Mm-hmm. You're enjoying it. Subscribe. It's free. It's absolutely free. And if you're you happen to pay the subscription, you know, they don't count for you. You're great. But everybody else, it's free. Subscribe to the channel. Subscribe to TDM, TDM Talk. Whenever you get a chance, go subscribe as well. Support all the Latino content, Mexicano content, Chicano content that is out and about. Go subscribe right now. We appreciate you again. And remember, we are just like you. We are human. We are the spice in this melting pot that it is the world. Till next time.
Thank you so much for being part of the community, checking out this amazing story and this amazing episode. Be sure you go and subscribe to the channel and check out the episodes that we already have prepared for you. Thank you very much. Until next time. Pero batting fake is a flamingo. Coming to Havana and reason Puerto Rico.